Mark chapter 10. Let's look at verse 29 and 30. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time." Everybody say now in this time. Now in this time. Notice that. You know, everybody's saying, well, one of these days, you know, they sing the songs, it'll be worth it after all and all of that. But here he says, you know, if you've been persecuted, if you've had to lose some things for my sake in the Gospels, he says, you're going to get a hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. Now notice, with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. Notice that. He says, you know, if you do what you're supposed to do for the gospel, he says, for my sake, if you're doing that, I'm going to reward you a hundredfold now in this time, but you will be persecuted. If you follow after God and God blesses you, you get persecuted for being blessed. Isn't it amazing? You can be a crook, sell dope, do whatever you want to there and have all kinds of money, all kinds of things, you know, and they don't get persecuted like somebody that's a child of God that gets blessed to God. That's the ones that they'll get persecuted more than anybody. But he says, you'll get blessed a hundredfold now in this time. I don't know about you. I can't wait to get to heaven. It's going to be awesome when we get over there. But I want to enjoy my life now in this time. Right now. I don't want to be one of them Christians running around going, oh, you know, it's a hard old way. Because it's not a hard old way. If you do what the Word of God says, now you may come up against some tough things. But if you do what the Word of God says, what did he just say? I'll bless you a hundredfold now in this time. And he said, not only are you going to get blessed a hundredfold now in this time, but he said, also you'll have eternal life. Notice that? Jesus made the total distinction right there in those verses between being blessed now on this earth and being blessed with eternal life. See, a lot of folks, they take the blessing as if that's going to be when you get to heaven. You know, there's no way that we can even describe how awesome heaven's going to be. Right? There's no way that we can even describe how great that's going to be. So that's not what Jesus is talking about when he says now in this time. He's talking about right now the life we're living. Amen. When you make sacrifices, and this is how you could say that, is when you make sacrifices for the Lord and the gospel, you'll get rewarded a hundredfold now in this time, plus eternal life. Amen. So he's showing us that, and so we need to see that. Well, now, you know, how are we going to get that hundredfold? Well, I'll tell you how we're going to get that hundredfold. We've got to stay persistent and steady in the faith of the Word of God. Amen. That the only way we're going to get what the Word says we're going to get is if we say, stay in the faith, stay with the Word, stay persistent in this thing. Church, I'm going to tell you something. There are going to be things, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but there are going to be things that's going to come against you to try to press you away from the faith. Amen. This world is trying to press Christians away from their faith. Come on now. I mean, we see it going on in our country right now. I mean, we see people that are just, I mean, they've gone nuts. You know, and I'm just going to just go ahead and say this, and you can get mad at me if you want to, but if there's somebody that doesn't want in this country, if they don't love this country, if they think death to America is the way it ought to be, and they think that Israel ought to be, what they need to do is they need to go over to those nations that they're standing for. You know, if they want Hamas, let them go over there. Get right in the middle of them. Stand right there. Get out of the United States, because this country belongs to God and God's people. Now, I know that makes folks mad, but it's the truth anyway. You know, if you don't love this country, people have given their lives so that we can have the freedoms that we have in this country over here. The reason people can stand on the streets and protest is because men and women have given their lives to give us that freedom of speech. But when you turn against your country, then it's time to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Come on now. You know, I mean, it's just put it where it's at. You turn against God, you're out of God's kingdom. Right? You're not going to stay in God's kingdom and curse God and tell him you want him to die. You're out. Right. So you're either in or out.
Satan
well, I'm going to have to... So it's kind of that way with your faith. You've got to stay persistent with it. You can't be wishy-washy back and forth. Go over here. We'll go to Mark chapter 10. We love Bartimaeus, and we want to just kind of read a little bit about him and here and see what happened with him. And, of course, most of us know the story. But here I want to just show you his persistence. And we'll start Mark 10:46. We'll start reading it there. And it says that he came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many, now listen to this, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. Notice that. This man refused to let the crowd silence him. He kept calling on Jesus, and Jesus stopped. Man, that's a lesson for us. You don't ever give up. You don't quit calling on Jesus. You still keep lifting up your name no matter what's going on. No matter who's telling you to shut up, not do what you're doing. Come on now. You just keep calling out the name of Jesus. And I promise you, he'll stand still. Look at that. He stood still and then he commanded him to be called. Notice that. Not only did he stand still, he said, "Bring him on over here to me." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." I just, it's amazing to me how people can flip flop. Right? Come on now, it's happening all the time around here, you know. People flip flop. One minute, you know, they're like, "Shut up, you don't want nothing to do you," and then, "Oh, come on now, he wants you now. We're best buds now." Right? Come on now. Isn't that the way a lot of folks do? They'll talk about you, and then all of a sudden, when God starts doing something good for you, all of a sudden, now they won't be part of that. Yeah. Come on now. You know, people talk about God like, you know, he's the awfulest thing ever was. Christians like they're the awfulest thing ever was. But let a little incident happen. Come on, let a little trouble come into their life. Let a little problems come into their life. And all of a sudden, I need you all to pray for me and my family. Right? Pray for so-and-so. What they do, they just flip-flop. Right? As long as they don't think they need God, they're all right. You know, these people are, you know, "I just hush. Don't even bother him, you know. You're a nobody over here." But then when he got Jesus' attention, all of a sudden they was his friend. "Yeah, come on over here." And so Jesus brings him on over there and they say, "Be of comfort, rise. He calleth thee." And notice this, and he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. Now I preach on this a lot, but you need to understand the implications here. The blind person had to wear garments that indicated they were blind. Okay? That identified them, like Brother Rick said, as a blind person that, you know, you'd show respect for, or if they bumped into you or whatever, you'd give them a break because you realize they're blind. Okay? It signified, "I'm blind." Now, Bartimaeus is blind. He's begging by the wayside. Jesus has now called for him, and the minute Jesus called for him, he throwed off his blind clothes. Come on. He throwed off that identity because he knew he was about to get a new identity. Come on, church. You've got to get a hold of that. Sometimes you've got to throw off what's been holding you back in order to move into the next thing that God's wanting you to do or wants for you. So he throws off that garment saying, "I'm not going to be blind anymore." And he walks on over to Jesus. Now let's read on some more here. So he threw and cast away his garment. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What will that I should do unto thee?" Notice that. I mean, you know, come on. Duh, Jesus. Right? Come on, you got a blind man over here saying, "Have mercy on me." And he comes over there, and they've had to help him over there, and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, you see, all he wanted was a confession out of blind Bartimaeus. He wanted to hear him say that I might receive my sight. Come on. See, a lot of times the reason folks are not getting anything because they're not saying what they want. They're saying, "What's wrong with them?" Come on. They're saying what their trouble is, what the problem is. They're saying what their circumstances are. Remember the guy there laying by the pool when Jesus said, "Will you be made whole?" And he says, "Well, I don't have anybody to help me." When I try to, he starts telling him all the reasons that he can't get that way. "I don't have anybody to help me. When I try to get in the pool, somebody gets in the pool for me." Jesus didn't ask him what. He said, "Will you be made whole today?" You see, a lot of times I think we as church folk, we start making excuses before we ever tell Jesus what it is we need. The devil's already got us thinking, and we're already thinking in the natural why we can't have what we want. Right? Jesus said you can have it. Well, how do I know that? Because all things are possible to him that believeth. If you can believe, all things are possible, right? So see, that tells me you can have it, but you've got to quit making excuses, quit holding on to what's been holding you back, and go ahead and say, "You know, Jesus said I can have that. I think I'll take that. That's mine. He's already given it to me." Come on, right? Here's the thing about Jesus. He's already said yes. For all the promises of God are yes and amen through him to us. Understand that. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, God already said yes to us. So blind Bartimaeus says, "You know, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way. Thy faith have made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed. Now notice, and followed Jesus in the way. What happened? Jesus saw his faith. What was his faith? His faith was throwing off that garment, saying, "I ain't going to be blind no more," and walking up to Jesus and said, "I want my sight." Amen. Now notice that. And Jesus saw it. He said, "Man, your faith made you whole." Now notice though, and God just really jumped it off the page to me as I read. You know, it's amazing how the Bible is progressive revelation. And God, you can read the same thing 100 times, 200 times, 300 times, and God will show you something. And I'd really never paid any attention, but God said, "You notice that?" I said, "Notice what?" And he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus in the way. What's that mean? That means that once blind Bartimaeus got his healing, he didn't just go off and do his own thing like a lot of folks do. See, a lot of folks, once God touches them, heals them, and they got rid of that problem, then they just go off on their own. They don't need Jesus anymore. Look around you, you see that there's a lot of folks don't need Jesus tonight. Oh, he got real quiet on me. Come on now. You know they need ball games, they need sports, they need this thing, they need that thing. They need all this stuff tonight. More than Jesus. But you know, when it comes to that problem, then all of a sudden they're going to have to cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Blind Bartimaeus was persistent in his faith till he got his sight. And he stayed persistent. He stayed with his faith because he followed Jesus in the way. He went right with him. He could have went to his family and said, "You know, hey, look at me, family," if he had him. "Look at me, Jesus has healed me," but that's not what he just went right ahead and followed Jesus. Went right with him. What if we'd just go with Jesus? Come on, think about it. What if we just follow after him, and once he solved the problem for us, did something for us, what if we just followed Jesus? So he followed him in the way. Now, and that's what we need to be in. Now, jump over here with me to Matthew chapter 15, and I'm going to show you somebody else. Matthew chapter 15. I can get there myself. Matthew 15, let's look down at verse 21. Matthew 15 and 21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying," listen to this again, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." So that sounds familiar, doesn't it? "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Notice this. This woman is relentless. She's got something she needs from the Lord. She knows the Lord can give it to her. He answered and said to her, "It's not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs." He's calling her a dog now. Right? Come on now. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, I know this is some familiar stories, but I just want to rekindle some fire in you and get you to thinking about staying with your faith, because if people that weren't even part of the covenant of God, this woman of Canaan, Jesus plainly says, she's not in covenant with me. She's not in covenant with God. She's not one of the children of Israel. She, all God has is not for her. Right? See, it's just like lost folk. You and I, we're in covenant with God. If you're a born again child of God, you're in covenant. Everything in that covenant belongs to you. If a person is lost, then that covenant doesn't belong to them. Now, it can if they'll receive Jesus, but if they haven't received Jesus, God is not obligated, neither is Jesus obligated, to give them anything that belongs to covenant children. Because they've got just as much of an opportunity to be in the covenant to get it as we do. So the woman's not in the covenant, and Jesus said, "I wouldn't send to those that are outside the covenant." But she comes once again after he never even answered her. This when she went to the disciples, they apparently got annoyed with her and went to Jesus and said, "Would you please make her leave? She's bothering us." But she came right back and fell right back down to him and said, "Help me, Lord." And that's when he tells her, "You know, it's not meet or it's not right for me to give you the children's bread. It don't belong to you." But see, she, in her wisdom and in her faith, said, "That's the truth, Lord. I understand that. But you know, even a dog gets to eat the crumbs that fall from the table." And what she was saying, "I'm not asking for the bread. I'm asking for the crumbs. Because I realize if I can just get the crumbs, my daughter will be made whole." Come on, church. Even though the crumbs did it, I don't want to just be satisfied with the crumbs. I want the bread, don't you? Come on, I want to stay in faith. But Jesus, when she said that, Jesus looks at her and says, "Great is your faith. It's going to be just like you said. Your daughter's going to be made whole." Why? Because she was willing to understand and know that even though she wasn't in covenant with God, she still had faith that just the crumbs, just the leftovers would suffice her and take care of her problem. I wonder sometimes if we don't just not give God enough glory for what He's done for us. We forget that even the crumbs could take care of us, but He gives us the whole thing. He gives it all to us. And so her faith was a faith that even though she had been denied, even though He hadn't answered her, He even called her, you know, He was calling her a dog when He said, "It's not meat to give the children's bread to dogs." Right? She's the one asking, so He's talking to her. Right? Somebody come up here, you know, and I got ready to minister to them and say, "Oh, no, I'm sorry, you're a dog." That'd go over big, wouldn't it? That'd sure make the front page of the paper. Right? Come on now. You know it would. Pastor calls somebody a dog. No, that's what Jesus called her, a dog, but she didn't care. Because she was after something. She didn't get offended. I'm going to tell you something. Offense can cause you to miss out on a lot of things of God. And you get offended. And I'm going to just tell you this the way. Let me just tell you how Jesus said it. He said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." That word tribulation means troubles, offenses, persecutions, problems. In this world, you're going to get offended. Somebody will offend you. Most likely, I'll say something from the pulpit to offend you. Amen. But if you hold on to that offense, it's only going to hurt you. Amen. Because if I say something from the pulpit that is true and it offends you, then I really didn't do anything wrong. I just told you the truth, but it just hit you wrong. Come on now. Anybody besides me ever been hit? I've been hit many times. I've just had to sometimes shake my head and think, "Oh my." It was the truth, but it wasn't the truth I wanted to hear. And I had a choice to either be offended or understand that, hey, I got to make some corrections. Come on. She knew that when he called her a dog, of course, it wasn't meant as a dog. It was meant that's what a lot of the people that were outside the covenant were called. Okay, remember the parable where it talks about the dog is returned to its the hog returned to its wallow, the dog to its vomit. You know, that's given those symbolistic things for other people. So he wasn't saying dog, dog, but he was saying a person outside the covenant. It's not meat for me to give that to him. And she said, that's the truth, but I'll take the crumbs. And she took the crumbs and her daughter was healed. Somebody say, take the crumbs. And then get the loaf. Come on, I'll take the loaf and the crumbs. Praise God. So, again, you know, here she is. The disciples tried to discourage her just like they did with blind Bartimaeus. You know, don't bother the master. But you see, when they came in faith, Jesus was moved by faith. Well, that's what we got to remember, that God is a faith God and He's moved by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, right? Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. If anybody had a reason not to persist in their faith, it would have been Job, right? Even his wife come to him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? Come on, think about that. But Job said, no, I'm going to keep my integrity. His friends are there trying to discourage him, telling him how bad he's been, what he's done, and why God's doing that, and it's his fault and all this stuff. But the Bible says in all that went on, Job never charged God foolishly. He never charged him foolishly. And when Job prayed for his friends, he gave him double for what he lost. You see, when we stay in faith, God will do that. Now, Satan uses the world to try to get us to compromise. Amen. He uses the things of the world to try to get us to compromise our faith. And, you know, I don't want to give him any compliments, but it seems like the world's that the church has fallen for it. Amen. You see, because Satan paints the world up to look like it's something just awesome. You know, to make it big in the world is the thing, you know. But when you start looking at the world and a lot of the success in the world, and then you get right down to the meat and the potatoes of the lives of the people that everybody's holding up on a big pedestal like they're all that, and you know. When you start looking at their lives, they're shipwrecked. Amen. You start checking them out and find out, you know, look at the popularity that Michael Jackson had. But his life was shipwrecked. You know, we've had some local stars here that have ended up going on, leaving this world way too young, very popular, but their lives were shipwrecked. Look at Britney Spears. Man, you know, the sensation and all of a sudden what's that? Her life is shipwrecked. You know, so the popularity in this world is not, you can't call that success, even though you may succeed at certain things in the world. Because I don't care how much you succeed in this world. If you succeed in this world without having Jesus in your life, you have failed miserably. It don't matter what accomplishments you make in this world. If you can't say, I did it because God's on my side, then you can forget it. You have failed. And I know that's not popular, but it's still the truth anyway. Look at all the folks that we have right now that are in high offices and that thing. What are their lives? I mean, look at their lives. My gosh. They're possessed by devils. And being oppressed by devils and doing the devil's work. And you know, you can say they're successful if you want to, but they're not. The person that nobody knows their name, that's in love with Jesus and following Jesus like little blind Bartimaeus, is in a greater place than the person in the highest office of our country. Why? Because they're following their faith. They're following Jesus. If you follow your faith, God will always have your back. Amen. Because you got to realize, yes, I want success in this life. I want a hundredfold in this life. But the most important thing is eternity. Amen. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Neither would I want any of my worst enemies to go to hell. Amen. But hell is a fact, and it's a reality that most people don't want to even face or don't want to even think about. They think they could just live their life, and one of these days it'll be all right. It won't be all right. You have to stay in faith. You've got to stay with your faith and stay persistent in your faith. Don't let anybody discourage you. Well, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said that. Well, see, that's the thing. You can't pay any attention to what so-and-so said. So-and-so don't know nothing. Have you ever noticed it's what they said this and they said that? It's amazing. Where did they get their information from? You know, a lot of folks will talk like they was right there when whatever happened. And if they weren't there, then it's just hearsay. It's just somebody's word. And so when somebody talks about you and says things about you, if they weren't there, then you just ignore it. Because they're just liars and they're being pushed and urged on by their father, the father of lies, Satan. Right? Come on, you can get mad at me about that. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it? He said, you're like your father, Satan. And when he said that to the Pharisees. Right? So we have to be careful to make sure that we don't let the world compromise us and let let Satan destroy us through compromise of the Word of God. Look over here in Mark chapter 14. See, Mark 4, verse 14. Satan wants to try to destroy the Word in your life. And he'll try to use the world to do that. If you look here in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus has given a parable, and then he starts to explain it. He said, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Notice that. Say, how in the world could Satan ever take a word sown in your heart? He does it through your mind and through your mouth. He gets you to thinking. You know, folks, they've been folks saved, give their life to Jesus and got saved, that Satan come in with a thought and say, well, you never got saved a bit more than anything. And they believed his lie. And he stole that out of their heart. Because they go right back to doing what they was doing, or the mouth say, well, I probably never got saved in the first place. I guess I didn't. You know, and that's Satan's trick. He wants to try to steal that word that as soon as it's sown, before it starts to grow in you. Right? Come on, you know, how many knows that a baby is more vulnerable than an adult? Well, it's the same way in the spirit realm. When somebody just first gets born again or the word first comes into them, that's the most precious time for that person. That's when they're the most vulnerable, right? Come on now, you know, you place a seed in the ground and that seed starts to, it finally receives something and starts to break apart to come up. It's more vulnerable then than once it comes up and becomes a cornstalk. Right? Come on, see, and so Satan immediately wants to come. He wants to steal the word out of your heart if he can. And this is not just the word of salvation, but this is any word that God gives you. He wants to destroy that word in you. Well, why is he so intent on destroying the word in their life? Well, it's because of this, church, and you need to remember this. I say it and say it and say it. You will never operate above the level of word in your life. You cannot operate in faith above the level of the word of God that's in your life. You just can't. That's why he wants to steal the word. The more word you get in your life, the more word you have faith on. Amen. The more you can believe for. If you don't know what the word says, how can you believe for what it says? See, that's why so many people still die, even though maybe they get sick and they say, well, I'm believing God for my healing. I'm believing God for my healing. If they never got that word sowed into them to where it grew to the point that they have faith for healing, even though it comes out of their mouth, they never did believe it in their heart. And faith is believing in your heart and then confessing with your mouth. Amen. It's got to get sown in the heart. It's got to be more than just a mouth confession. Amen. So that's why it's so important that we get the Word in us so that our faith level can be higher than the devil can steal from us. I believe for my healing. I have faith for healing. Why? Because God's Word says that. And if I got faith in the Word, then that faith's going to come to pass. I got to stay persistent in that. Right? Look here at Hebrews chapter 4 with me real quick. We'll close here just in a minute. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Without the Word of God in our life, we have no safeguard to our conscience. Did you hear me? Without the Word of God in your life, you have no safeguard for your conscience. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about without the Word of God, men can imagine to do anything they want to do, but it's not necessarily godly. If your conscience is rooted and grounded on the Word of God, what you think will be godly things. If it's not rooted on the Word of God, then there's no safeguard there, so whatever you think, you might think that's right. It's sad to say, but there's a lot of folks in the church today that think they're all right, and they drink, they swore, they cuss, they go to church every Sunday, but all that week they live like the devil. And they think they're all right. But you see, that's because there's not a Word of God in them to let their conscience understand this is wrong before God. Amen. It's true. And it's because it's never been preached to them. You know, when they get it preached to them that, you know, once you're under grace, once you get saved, you're saved forever, they don't care what they do. There's no word level for conscience there because the mind thought there is, I'm in. I don't have to ever worry about anything. I don't have to keep any of God's commandments. I don't have to keep God's law because I'm in by grace. And see, that's the big lie. And Satan loves that lie because he knows and understands that if the people if they die in that condition, in sin, then they'll go to hell. And see, there's a lot of folks, I know I'm making some people mad right now, but that's okay. They need to hear the truth. You need to read your Bible and see what the Word says. Because you can't take the word of a preacher. You can't take the word of a man. You can't take the word of a church, a denomination. See what the Word of God says. If you do what the Word of God says, you'll find out you can't do what you want to do. You have to do what the Word says to do. I don't care what your opinion about it is. What's the Word say? Amen. And that's what we have to see. So we have to understand that that's why Satan wants to get the Word away from us. So now, let's just move on just a little bit. So how are we going to stay persistent in our faith? We'll kind of hurry up with this. Number one, we're not going to quit. Amen. You'll never succeed if you quit. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You can't quit. You can't give up. You want to stay persistent. You just can't quit. Are there times you want to quit? Yep. Are there times you feel like quitting? Yep. But you can't go by what you feel. You can't go by what you want to do. You have to understand and know that I cannot quit no matter what, because I'm in this thing for an eternity. Amen. So we can't quit. The second thing is we're not going to let anybody discourage us. I don't care who they are. In Numbers chapter 13, the spies discouraged the heart of the people, those 10 spies, and kept them from getting to see their promised land. Why? Because they told them all how tough it's going to be, what they had saw, and their opinion of it all. Again, it was their opinion. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't overcome those giants. Hey, yeah. And God had already said, I've given it to you. See, they superseded what God said with what they thought. and they discouraged the people, and caused those people didn't get to go. They murmured and said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to the cucumbers and leek. Let's eat it. And God says, I'm just going to kill them all. And then, no, you can't do that. You can't kill them all. The Egyptians will say, you brought them out here to just kill them. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you something. Joshua and Caleb is the only two that had a right spirit in them. They'll get to see the promised land, but everybody 20 years and up, they're going to lose it. They're not going to. We're going to wander for 40 years around in the wilderness. And once they're all died out, then I'll take this next generation over into the promised land. Amen. So you see, they believe the opinion of the spies over the word of God. If you let somebody discourage you by believing what they think, then man, you messed up bad. Don't listen to people and what they think. Find out what the word of God says and stay with the word of God. Okay. Now, number three, we're going to keep up our word level. Well, you mean keep up your word? We're going to stay in the Word. We're going here, Colossians 3:16. I'll give it to you. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Notice that. Keep that word level up there, church. Come on. Don't let it swing. Don't let it get... You need to be able to... The Bible says we need to be able to give an account for what we believe. Well, if I don't know what the word says, then I don't know what I believe. Right? Somebody asked you something, what are you going to tell them? Well, I don't know. I'll tell you what I do. I'll ask pastor. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mind for you ask me. That's fine. But, you know, here's the thing. How about just getting this word in for yourself? Have it there so you can just give them an answer. I'm going to tell you something. You can settle a lot of arguments with the Word of God. Because they can start throwing out high scriptures and this and I. Well, I'll tell you, brother, I believe this. Well, here's what the Word says. Don't matter what you believe, the Word says this. You talk about stopping something in a hurry, it'll stop it in a hurry. So we've got to keep that word level up on us. And then lastly, here's the thing. We're going to believe that we can have what God says we can have. Amen. You want to stay in faith? Start believing what God says you can have, you can have. God said it, I can have it. It's settled. He's already said I could have it, right? So when we start seeing that, we understand that God said, I want you to have a blessed life. I want you to stay in faith. I want you to use your faith to get everything I have in my word. And if we'll stay with faith and we'll stay in faith, we'll see it happen and come to pass. Amen? Praise God. Stand with me then. Let's pray. Staying in faith, it'll always produce the desired results.